We're talking about cloud migration with three of your IT peers. We have Dylan Gage's CIO, Tom Grounds, CIO of the State of Arizona's Department of Education, Mark Masterson, and AVP of Global Industry Services at ABM Industries, Andre Garcia. Gentlemen, thanks for being here, all of you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Filling out the set here today. We like this. All right, we're going to start with a brand new poll. We want our audience here online to weigh in on this. Here is that question. What is the primary cost you could cut from your budget by leveraging PaaS for custom applications? A, hardware cost. B, operating system cost. C, patching cost. D, labor cost. Weigh in on that. Cast your vote, and we will reveal those results before you know it. All right, gentlemen, let's get to know you a little bit first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your companies and what you do there.
Sure. I'm Tom Grounds. I'm the CIO of Dylan Gage. We are a seven business units, six of which deal in precious metals, from trading to distribution. We have got two depositories where you can actually store precious metals if you're an investor. We also have a refinery operation where we do secondary refining. We also have a digital metals division, which is actually making a big disruption within our industry, where all of those services are now available to all of our dealers through electronic means, whether it's our FizTrade platform for actual online trading, with our depositories being able to see the value of what you have in your holdings, and refinery being able to see it go through that process.
Okay, great.
I'm the CIO at the Department of Education in Arizona, so my primary responsibility is to ensure that we prepare 1.2 million students for college and career, either college or career ready. To do that, we have been very busy implementing education intelligence, also known as business intelligence. We affect 70,000 teachers, all online every day, and up to 5 million parents. So it's a pretty big operation. And of course, ultimately, we got to make sure that payment gets to the districts. And
sure.
So it's about $5 billion worth of annual, half the state budget of Arizona goes towards education.
Absolutely. You know the routine name, rank, serial number, right?
Yes, sir. So I'm Andre Garcia, AVP of Global Infrastructure Services at ABM. ABM is a facility solutions organization that is 120,000 employees strong and has serviced customers for over 100 years. At ABM, my team and I provide basically all of the infrastructure services, which includes data centers, cloud services, client and server engineering, plus security and enterprise architecture.
Great. All right, great. We got some perfect diversity up here. Something's going to speak to just about everybody out there. So let's start on one of the most obvious questions, which a lot of the folks watching are on that teetering point, and they want to know from you guys in the field. You know, we can start with you, Tom. Why did your company decide to make the move to the cloud?
All right, I came in 2.5 years ago and was really walked into the perfect storm. We had a data center in our physical presence office that had end of life of all the equipment that was there. We were having issues with power stability, with internet connectivity stability, which really then started wreaking havoc on our digital online trading platform. And then we were looking at actually standing up a colo. So here I was faced with double infrastructure costs across all of that, and then with Microsoft coming in with their Azure solution, it just seemed like the right solution at the right time.
Right.
So we were able to avoid all of the hardware costs. We were able to actually leapfrog technologies because a lot of what we were on was old and no longer supported. And we were also then able to, for our digital metals group, actually plant a solid foundation for our future.
Wow, okay. Obviously, Mark, Arizona's not known for actual clouds, but making the move, sometimes, yeah, obviously what holds people back is just the fear of the unknown, right? So why did you guys decide to make the move to the cloud?
Same as Tom. 4 years ago, I walked into the storm. legacy platforms, 10 years old, unsupported operating systems, unsupported SQL boxes. Everything that could be wrong was wrong. So you either start over, stabilize, then start over, and that's the approach we took, is stabilize because it was not working, and then build a plan to get to the next generation. And it took us a while because cloud 4 years ago was not as robust and for somebody like us to be able to jump to, but today in the last 2 years, it's been the lifesaver for us. And why did we do it? It's risk, cost, deferring, changing things from a fixed cost model to a variable cost model.
Right.
And to me, that's what made sense for us. Plus, it leverages the ability not to spend so much money on hardware. And nobody knows where it is anyway. Everybody just pushes a button on an application.
Right.
So you want to get rid of things that don't add value and are not adding incremental value to the customer every day.
So, Andre, two of the three say they started right in the middle of the storm. Were you in the middle of the storm, too?
That's one good way to put it. one of our biggest challenges was that ABM is predominantly providing services in North America, so we didn't have infrastructure globally. So one of the biggest steps we were able to take in leveraging the cloud was being able to take advantage of the data centers in Ireland and the Netherlands from Microsoft and actually start leveraging those infrastructures to actually bring applications closer to where our customers and our employees were. We've had a lot of growth happening in the United Kingdom, and as such, there are applications being used by employees on a daily basis that are leveraged to actually report, for example, passenger statistics at London Heathrow Airport, where people are. And to have to cross the pond to access infrastructure in the US doesn't make a whole lot of sense when your application is latency sensitive. You really need that close by, right? So we were able to leverage Azure that way.
Great. Obviously, the idea of moving to the cloud is not a brand new thing anymore. I think people and companies are more and more aware that this might be a great idea, but the idea of actually doing it is the next thing that stops you, right? Just like when you get a new device at home, I don't know how to hook this up. I'm just going to leave it in the box. So talk about that migration process and what was it like. Were you able to figure it out? Did you receive support?
Sure. We actually engaged a partner, RBA, who was just phenomenal working with us. We did ours in two waves. The first wave was all of the commodity technologies, so Exchange and SharePoint and Project and all of those. They assisted us in moving all of our users up to that 2 years ago now. And then secondarily worked on actually moving our entire data center into the infrastructure as a service. And then we started building our custom applications on the platform as a service. And so leveraging that partner, we were able to get there quickly. We even moved our entire ERP up there, which we're now in the process of sunsetting and going to now Dynamics AX, which we launch next year, also in Azure.
Wow, great. All right, Mark, what about the process do you remember making the move, the migration process? What do you remember?
Well, the most important part of making this migration is to have a good plan and have it staged. And like Tom, my first goal was to move the services that customers interact with most, Office. And that proved for us, because of how they designed their legacy platforms for Active Directory, it was very difficult. So we immediately looked at another approach. So I moved quality assurance, dev boxes, and then used a Team Foundation server, stored our offline up in the cloud. And then as I was building, when I did the roadmap for the future architecture, we built new, everything was in the cloud. And today we're running in parallel. I have legacy still systems with cloud systems interacting with each other as we fully move to the cloud, because the customer can never experience a downtime. So the hardest part about doing this is putting your commitment to it. While you're doing that, we were fixing all our other back-end issues such as identity management and Active Directory. And now we're ready to actually go to Office 365 and identity management in Azure. My whole plan is to be ultimately everything is in Azure, and then I no longer have to worry about where a box is and who's managing it.
Andre, what about you? What do you remember in the process of actually making that migration to the cloud?
You know, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of other executives, a lot of other CIOs, CFOs, CEOs about their walk in IT over the last decade. And what's happening right now with cloud and the shift towards cloud is paradigm shifting, just like virtualization was, right? In the late 2000 timeframe, 2009, 2008, 2010, when people actually started shifting all of their workloads to virtualized platforms, there was a lot of reticence, a lot of hesitation. People were concerned about what can we actually do with virtualization.
Right.
The same thing is happening in the cloud, right? There's a very steep learning curve, and the thing that's making it even more difficult and challenging for IT organizations everywhere, regardless of size, is that the cloud space is constantly evolving. And we're not talking evolution scales that are you know, annual or even biannual. It's weekly, right? So you have to have an organization that can really move quickly and adapt to the onslaught of changing technologies.
Now, obviously, we are like business and in life, we're results-based, right? You know, what have you done for me lately kind of scenario. Let's talk about the end results. You know, making the move, it's an investment in time, resources, commitment on behalf of the company. But let's talk about what it's actually done, what it's been the overall results for your company, Tom.
You know, we've had great result with it. With my team, we've got a very small organization. As they pointed out in one of the earlier sessions today, that we're always being asked to do more with fewer resources.
Sure.
So by being able to move a large portion of our infrastructure off to Office 365, my team's no longer patching, they're no longer doing the upgrades, they're no longer doing any of that, so they can focus on the infrastructure that truly is integral to our business.
Right.
Our ERP system, our distribution, our frontline trading applications, and all of those. So we've been able to get a focus there, but as Andre pointed out, you're also doing a lot of education along the way to make sure you're keeping up with what changes are happening. Now, having walked into a situation where we were so far behind, that now forces me to stay on the forefront and know that I'm not going to be in that situation again.
Right. And how aware do you think your company is, you know, at large of the differences this has made? Is it just back to business for folks? Or are they aware of, wow, look at what we're doing here?
Unfortunately, it's just back to business.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It's like they don't complain unless something's wrong.
Sure.
And if everything's running fine, you never hear from them at all.
Sure. It's sort of like in sports, right?
Right.
They don't call players' name. That's usually a good thing.
Right. Exactly.
That's
but
great.
Within my organization, being able to make sure that we can guarantee that it is going to be up far more often is much easier to deal with.
Right. Mark, for you guys, talk about the overall results. How have you seen your business change?
Well, it changes in several areas. I mean, the first benefit is the customer, I like what Tom said, is the customer should never know. It's either just faster, better,
right?
But they should never know. Mm-hmm. The challenge behind the scenes is that your people've got to change. And the people that you had that operated boxes and servers and see if the lights are flickering,
right?
They have to change. And that those that change adopt and move, those that don't have to go. So there's in the backside of the IT organization, there's a lot of work to ensure your people are skilled, because you move from an organization that is like Andre said, is bleeding edge. And your people got to be bleeding edge. And you got to change everything that changes. You got to change weekly. I mean, just sitting in this conference, the discussion about how fast I can, my mind is saying, how fast am I going to move to Office 365 2016? Because of the collaboration capabilities that comes with that. Because if my customer would, that would huge benefit. So I got to move quick.
Sure.
From a dollar savings, huge, huge. The infrastructure alone is, we're going to save approximately from a legacy system to the new system, $50 million annually in the
wow.
state. If you take that and the fact that you're not spending, you can't spend more money on education because there is none, getting that money to kids in classrooms is the most important thing we can do versus spending it on software or hardware that nobody sees or cares about.
Right. Wow, that's pretty impressive savings there. Now, Andre, what about you guys? Obviously, as we have said before, and everybody watching knows this change, can be scary. We're busy. We got to keep moving. We got to be productive. We might not have time to do this. You did it. You made the commitment. You moved to the cloud. How has it affected business?
For us, the responsiveness that we have to business now is so much faster than it used to be. Not just from a speed standpoint, but from an agility in a location standpoint. And what I mean by that more specifically is that now as our business units start to spin up services in places like the Middle East or throughout Northern and Western Europe, we can actually provision services very quickly, less than a day. So when there's a need, when there's a hole to plug, we can fill it very quickly,
right?
That for us has been just a tremendous value.
That's great. I mean, we've talked about efficiency, money savings, the speed at which you can work. That's great. And hey, before we move on to the last question, I want to ask you guys, let's reveal the results of the poll. The online audience watching, they're joining in, they've weighed in. Here are the results. Once again, what is the primary cost you could cut from your budget by levering pause for the custom applications? And you can see not quite a landslide, but 45% say hardware costs, next closest to 27% labor costs. What are your guys' reactions to those results?
It's very true. We are no longer provisioning any equipment any longer. I've taken the entire organization out of that vicious 3 to 5 year cycle. But by putting our applications there, not having to patch, not having to do any of that maintenance you would normally do has been huge for us.
What that doesn't say, which it should say, is that it frees up money and very short supply of money, and put it towards a business. Today has got to be disruptive. It's got to move at a pace that none of us are. It's moving so fast that I gotta have money to spend there. Hardware slows you down, but if you have to go provision hardware, hook it up, and do that, that time and money that you have in people can be better spent on applications, mobile devices, and getting the information to the person that needs it quickly versus spending it on something. That's exactly where I've expected it to see it a lot higher, but that's where I'd expect to see the biggest savings.
Yeah, and I'll echo what they both have said with one slight twist, and that is be careful what you ask for or wish for, right? Because with hardware costs, you have a fixed cost. You know you're depreciating over 3 years. It's a monthly lease, whatever. When you introduce PaaS or IaaS, you're paying for what you use. Mm-hmm. So you're introducing a certain amount of variability that can be very hard to predict. And you're also introducing a big element of surprise, not just the variability in your costs, but the other surprising factor is because cloud is so new and so many people have so much to learn about it, the challenge that a lot of organizations are gonna face is if you over-engineer something in a virtualization space, fine, I can tweak that down and we'll fine-tune it, blah, blah, blah. If you do that in the cloud, it shows up in your wallet. Right? All of a sudden you have a very large bill that you didn't realize because you didn't tune storage right, or you didn't tune the number of processors right, or you gave a VM too much RAM. You have to be very cost conscious and very sensitive to how you tune that entire cloud infrastructure. It isn't a hands-off platform. Right. So that's my suggestion.
When you watch out for that. A nice segue there, as you said, it is evolving so fast, weekly, not monthly or even yearly like people might think. And that's probably what's also having CIOs of certain companies, smaller or some of these that just take off overnight, is that unknown factor, is maybe even embarrassment to say, I don't really understand the cloud. I mean, I know my stuff can be stored up there. So from your perspectives, boots on the ground, there's so much you can do with the cloud. What might our audience not know, maybe through your own experiences, is, oh, I didn't realize we could do all of that. It's not just a place where we store our stuff.
Yeah, you also have the flip side of that where they think it's a silver bullet. Mm-hmm. That you no longer have to do certain things when you architect your systems and making sure you've got resiliency in everything you're building. But the things that it provides that our company wasn't aware of, being able to launch mobile devices, mobile applications, just even as the evolution of the services that are becoming available, we're now getting into data mining and starting working with analytics and what are we able to do within our organization, because just like Microsoft is with Azure trying to project what should happen in the next 5 years, we're trying to do that within our own industry. Mm-hmm. So now we're being given tools that we wouldn't otherwise have available to be able to start looking at what should we be doing for our industry next.
Which is probably impressive, right, to the workforce to say, wow, look at us. Look how sophisticated we are. Look how much we can do.
Right, and it's not something we could do if we still had it in the closet down the hall.
Right. Mark, what do you think? What are some of the things about moving to the cloud that maybe you guys didn't realize, or that you assume that folks out there might not realize?
Well, I think that to sort of piggyback on what Andre started is that on the opposite side of that discussion is that the cloud provides you the ability to the customer, if they want a service, understands what it costs. And yes, you can regress over time to sort of estimate the time, and there's some variability of time, but if the customer doesn't get value, turn it off.
Yeah.
If you're in not in cloud, if you turn it off, you still have a box. And so therefore you can be more nimble. You're not as afraid to take risk in research and development and add new things, because if it doesn't work, turn it off. Where all the infrastructure costs that you have to buy in the legacy world, it's still there, and you're still paying for it for 3 years or 5 years. So to me, that's important. The other thing is the security, which is really critical, is that I didn't have the funding or the money to be able to provide the level of security that's needed in today's world. Where if I outsource that to Microsoft Azure, I feel a lot more comfortable that the security level is beyond what I could meet. And I still do pen testing and I still do the security testing, but I could not receive the level of service that I have and the patching and keeping up with it that I get from the cloud.
Right. Andre, our final 30 seconds, your last thoughts. What do people not know about the cloud?
I would stress that, again, that the cloud is not a panacea and it's not an overnight instant success. It's something that is game changing. It'll affect your culture. It'll affect your politics. It'll affect your finances as an organization. Your organization has to be prepared to embrace the cloud. And that means getting rid of a lot of the FUD, the fear, the uncertainty, and doubt. And that's done through education. People have to be prepared. They have to have the tools. They have to have the education to actually figure out how they navigate all of these onslaught of new services that are coming out. But it paves the way for a lot of excitement and change that a lot of organizations need.
Andre, Mark, Tom, thank you guys. Great stuff. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Well, thank you.